B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are we, do we have Brooklyn 911 this week?
We do. Thought we'd do it on Thursday.
Sure. I had we're Toucher and Rich. I had one of these experiences about how people tell you they've, like, heard of the show. This is by far the most bizarre one. This is a very nice guy, but I was somewhere, and I sort of know the guy, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, I heard about you. I was listening to Boston University Radio."
Okay.
And there was the DJ said that he had submitted a Tom Brady parody song to you guys that you had cut off.
I know what it is.
Yeah, so do I. And then he played it on the BU radio.
Oh, good.
And but that, like, you're listening to, you're my age, you're listening to BU radio. All right there,
strange.
Left of the dial, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
There were some interesting stories of people listening to our show afterwards when we talked to the meet and greet people from the Wilbur one. There was a gentleman who said he had gotten fired for listening to our show, which I thought was interesting.
It's a little extreme.
Yeah.
But that was of all the, like, I truly believe he has no idea what goes on with this show. I truly believe he's never heard it. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's listening to BU Radio. I probably were a little juvenile for him. But the idea that was like, wow, all right. So, like, by if you just had flown down from space, you would think BU Radio was this behemoth. They were the guy finally got some credit and named on BU Radio.
You know how they say, like, the most sincere form of flattery is imitation? And there's sometimes, however, where you step back and you go, I can't believe this is the thing that people are imitating. Did you read that article that, like, was all over, I guess, like, Deadspin and, awful announcing and all
if
this?
If it was on Deadspin, no.
Okay. Well, it was on, like, a bunch of different sites. There is another radio station that just ripped off Farcourt.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I did not see this.
Of all the things that our show does, like, the one thing that, for some reason, other stations are starting to, like, copy and do in other places is a dumb bit we do called Farcourt.
Right.
Where is this?
I think it was Philly.
Okay.
I think it was in Philly.
And they got press for it.
And they got press for it. And I'm just like, man,
what an original idea these guys have.
Farcourt in the rag, man.
Maybe it was a guy that was in the audience where I bashfully admitted that we do a segment called Farcourt.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I was in New York.
You did talk to a bunch of radio people, and that was kind of funny when people are like, well, what do you do? Well, you know. See, if someone might fart on TV, we rule whether or not it was indeed a fart.
I was embarrassed saying it, like, because they're like, well, you're not just sports, and I'm like, nah. And they're like, do you any other segments? So I described Brooklyn 911, and I don't think they were kind of getting it. And then I'm like, yeah. And then we do this thing, Farcourt, where we play farts and say if the guy farted.
Right. You're sitting up there and it's like, okay, so you've won a Marconi.
Right.
Tell us what, you know, what makes a show like this tick?
And I'm like, you know, we don't do, like, a lot of, like, the same bits. And it's kind of hard to explain a lot of stuff we do. And they're not getting the Brookline 911 thing.
See, there's characters that pop up regularly. Like, there's a gentleman who used to work at the station, and we've exaggerated his love for feet. So anytime anyone mentions feet, we, you know, we go, ooh.
Yeah, like,
and, like, you're telling a crowd, and they're like, I don't know.
I was asked I was asked to put together, Nick knows, I was asked to put together this thing of characters I do. And it makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's like this guy loves feet.
Yeah.
This is Yamir Yager, but it's still 1989. And this is, oh, God, they're so dumb.
Describing our show to anybody is strange.
Yeah.
And you find yourself going, what is my purpose in life?
Yeah.
But as I said, the minute you say that, you see that someone else is doing Farcourt and it's getting, like, national press.
I can tell you how I had to describe this stuff because I have an email from Nick.
Okay.
One's legitimate, another one's legitimate. Ray Lewis is a former football player. He's a linebacker with the Baltimore Ravens. In this example, Fred's version of Ray Lewis loves sitcoms. Paul Stanley is the lead singer of Kiss. Fred does a very flamboyant impersonation of Paul Stanley. He often hides in dirty laundry hampers.
Now who are you describing this to?
This is an agency requested that I do this. And so Paul McCartney, a.k.a. Cold Cuts McCartney, one of the members of the Beatles who developed an obsession with cold cut meats and sandwiches. I mean, this is nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's complete crap.
And as I said, like, when the words come out of your mouth and you describe what you're doing and what you do for a living, like, I mean, you know, we make songs out of farts.
Yeah. I mean, it's really...
And I got friends that are like, you know, surgeons.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is that if you're going to steal a bit, I mean, Farcourt's something anyone could have come up with, but whatever.
But we did.
So we thought of it first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing.
Maybe we just made it okay to finally talk about farts again on the radio. Is that there was like...
Well, there's this like stodgy suit-wearing, you know, type deal.
Yeah, like Stern left terrestrial, and then there was this massive decade and a half of no farting. And then we came in and brazenly turn that on its head.
I said, what about the time that LeBron accidentally pulled out his pants and LeBron's penis called in?
Hello.
Forgot about LeBron's penis.
I might have been on Ambien when I thought of that.
Just hanging out.
I might have taken Ambien that night and then saw something that and I called Rich and I said to Rich, wouldn't it be funny if LeBron's penis talked?
I'm trying to recruit Kevin Durant's penis. You know, a tag team situation.
Well, fair enough.
Sorry, LeBron's penis would call in every once in a while.
But it happened.
Don't copy that, Philadelphia.
I mean, that's the thing. You know what? You know what we should do, Fred?
Do LeBron's penis.
Next time we're on a panel, we should just make up fake things that we do and see if like other stations will start doing it.
It could be
because,
any outlandish.
We are lucky enough to be somewhat, you know, kind of people who say, all right, well, they've won this and they've done this, so let's get their advice. We should just make up just garbage.
I cannot imagine the guy took it from when I described Farcourt at that thing. I have to think that they maybe I don't know. Maybe people listen to the show, and if that's what they came away with.
And that's not the first case of like a Farcourt ripoff. I mean, there's been other ones. And as I said, it's just, you know, it's the sincerest form of flattery, I guess.
It's also hard to get mad at because it's not like...
No, I'm not mad at it.
No, I know you're not. And that's what I'm saying.
It's just all the things you take.
That's why it's hard to like get annoyed with because... Like, you guys could have thought of that. I mean, it's just a guy farting, dude. And then you act like you're making this a big deal and that you're really taking it seriously. And then you analyze the fart way too long. And then that's the bit. I mean, it's not one of our, think tank ones. What did you just hear a fart one day, right? And just said,
I just thought it was ridiculous if we went over the top and we had powdered wigs.
Hello.
Well, thank you, LeBron's penis. I appreciate it. Go back in, okay?
Well, the way the powdered wigs and everything came about is just, we didn't sit down and write that.
That was organic.
Yeah, that just came.
His penis isn't coming to Boston.
All right. Okay, that's
fine. It was a lot funnier,
That's why he was getting recruited to come here.
I understand. I'll tell you, the LeBron's penis thing does not translate well this long after LeBron exposed himself.
Oh, that's right. That was a pretty funny thing.
It really doesn't. It was funny the day after he showed his penis on national television.
Yes.
2 days.
All right. Go away, LeBron.
It's because it's really not funny. It's just there's no context. The context of him his penis being shown on television,
yes.
And then it talking to the media was. No, unnecessary. But and then it talking to the media was
hello
was the idea, and there you go, there you have it.
Well, so there you go, influencing the radio shows all across America.
If you want Farcourt, you can have it.
So we have been
take Farcourt all you want. You can take it and do it everywhere. We won't call you out on it. I actually did see that, and it did, and I thought I didn't care so much and usually that stuff bugs me, but I didn't care so much that I was just like, hey, you do Farcourt. Can you imagine some of these shows doing Farcourt? Can you imagine like Dennis and
I mean, you have to have a certain amount of self-deprecation.
At the end, they were trying to head in this direction.
Well, and, I mean, to be that, I mean,
just try, not a kind
they,
of strange.
They tried to be us at the end.
Yes,
you have to have a certain amount of self-deprecation and inherent stupidity in your show for it to work. I mean, you can't go like, all right, that's it. Got the goddamn Red Sox. All right, now did Spears fart here? it's not gonna translate as well.
So it's the next time you're on a panel, just tell them about what's happening.
Yeah,
what's happening is one of the best bits we've ever done.
No,
mm-hmm. Or maybe Game of Thrones.
I love Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones is a really good
bit. I stand by that one. That was good.
We did it again.
No, it was really good. I thought it was really good.
Now it wouldn't make sense as much. I think that was a great idea. I think that's a funny idea. It's a funny idea. Just because something's toilet related doesn't automatically make it not funny. And Game of Thrones is it's not even that obvious. Like, I like that bit a lot. They had to answer questions at the time it took in the least amount of flushes.
I can do that in 12 flushes. But Bird made it great.
Well, yeah, but that's a good concept. I stand by that concept.
Five books of fiction.
No, that wasn't.
Dr. Seuss.
That wasn't Game of Thrones. That was something independent.
That was Game of Thrones.
Oh, I thought that was.
I will stand by Game of Thrones. I think that's actually clever. And just because it involves toilets doesn't necessarily mean it's not clever.
Yes. We had like a cool open for that one.
No, we've done a bunch of dumb crap that wasn't funny at all. A ton of it. But Game of Thrones, I think I like it. My wife thought it was really stupid.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. It was Bird and Nick, correct?
Yeah, it was Bird and Nick. Okay. And
back when Bird worked here, before he got
himself
fired.
It took a while for them to figure out how the game actually worked. I think we were kind of figuring out the air.
No, it was just who could do it in the least amount of flushes.
They each went to a separate bathroom. I think Bird was downstairs and Nick was upstairs.
But it was like, I can do it in 4 flushes?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and like I can name
4 all the flushes
Marvel movies in 3 flushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Nick was like, I could do it in one.
That was Dr. Seuss, Mickey Mouse.
No, the Game of Thrones, I'd do that bit again. When the sequel comes out or whatever the hell they have up, they're up to something with Game of Thrones. I'd do it.
Someone made a Game of Thrones hat for us. It was such a success.
No, there's a lot of stuff that that we'll never do again. Game of Thrones, I liked.
Beware thy royal stench of thy diarrhea.
Well, maybe that was.
We never got that far.
Maybe that
I haven't heard that one before.
Maybe that was not the one to make my point stand.
Taking a poop.
But they weren't, you see.
Yeah, right. Standing next to the toilet.
It was no more scatological than just making a toilet flush. There was nothing more to it.
All the people at Morning Zoo Boot Camp are taking notes right now. Right.
Yeah.
Post-show meeting is everything.
Just listen, the bathroom's your playground. While you're at work, you just think about all the I was listening. There's a show that's syndicated here that's out of Detroit, and I was listening to some podcasts because I grew up, where the radio station, and their most famous bit they got in trouble for because it was trying to expose someone who was going to the bathroom, so they were told that they had to knock it off.
There's
a lot of successful shows that have turned to the bathroom.
And done it completely wrong.
Well, I mean, or turn to the bathroom for creative, to be the creative.
Behold the Kraken.
It's true.
It's a Kraken.
It's from
Butt Kraken.
All right. Fludu Shenzhou hopefully is listening right now. And he will join us. We will talk about what are the plans.
Game. Game of Thrones.
Just another round of that.
What are the plans?
We got to wait all the way until the House of Dragons comes out until we can do it again.
Yes, indeed. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I actually haven't given it a thought yet, to be honest. It's, I have a lot of other stuff to been worrying about, you know, the whole year, so haven't been thinking about that at all.
Patrice, what is the process for you to make this decision? How long do you plan on taking and all that?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Steve. I think it's just more time, I guess. You know, right now it's only been, you know, a couple of days. So all I did was really enjoy the family at home. So I'm going to need some time to just think about a lot of things and come up with the best decision for myself and my family.
Is it your understanding that if you do want to come back, there's obviously a space for you here and a place for you?
I mean, I didn't speak to anyone. I just got here, but yeah, my understanding is there is. Yeah.
How do you feel physically after this year?
Good. I feel good. No. Yeah, body feels good. It's, you know, there's a few, you know, obviously this year at the nose and the elbow and all that, but that's just the, you know, the usual of the grind of the season, but otherwise, nothing to report on that.
All right, there you go. Patrice Bergeron, who has said emphatically he will not be going to another team. He will either be retiring or coming back to the Bruins, which is the right move. Fluto Shinzawa, senior writer for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Fluto, hello.
Good morning, fellas.
All right, so you, I read you on in The Athletic, and you are of the mind that Sweeney and Cassidy should stay.
You look at the results, boy, I think they've met their missions in terms of making this a competitive playoff team every year. By definition, since 2017, they've made it every year. I agree with Brad. Brad was saying yesterday, and he said after the game, that had they gotten past Carolina, their position to go deep. Now, that's cheap. That's what does that mean afterward, right? But, yes, they drew an awful matchup. Carolina was the better team. They look like a legit Stanley Cup team. And it's just, they had some luck too, right? Like we all remember the save that Antti Raanta had on Taylor Hall. Well, what if that goes in and the Bruins get a lead in game seven for only the second time in the series? Maybe everything turns out a little bit different and they're still playing and they're playing in New York. But, I think there's some blemishes on each of Don and Bruce's resume, but overall they fulfilled their mandates. This is a playoff team year in, year out, but the question is, will they be next year? That's a big question.
All right, you make a interesting point on Cassidy, who this show certainly likes that maybe if this team chooses to go younger, Cassidy, there's at least according to some people you've talked to, or you know, judging by the way some players have handled him, Cassidy's style might not be the best for some young players. So
no,
demanding.
No question. He's demanding, and you can see from a younger player's perspective, they're probably thinking, well, why is this guy all over me when he leaves 37 and 63 alone to do whatever they want? Well, there's a reason for that. These guys have been in the league for years. They've won. They know everything, all the details and all the fundamentals that the coach insists on to be successful. It's a hard way to play. It's a hard way to be coached, especially as we all know, these players of this generation and of future generations, they're just never coached in that manner. The youth, junior, college, it's all positive, positive thinking, growth mindset, all this stuff. And maybe that should be the case, but it's just not the way that's not Bruce's style. That he's of the generation that he can be on guys to be firm and remind them this is how you have to play. And it's a hard way to play 82 games plus the playoffs, to be constantly thinking about your stick position and where you have to reload and this and that. I can see how that can be wearing on young players. But you look at some of the results that they've produced. Well, McAvoy's a star. Pastrnak's a star. Swayman looks like he's on the way. So... I don't think Bruce is going to change his style, but yes, if they do move forward, now granted, a lot of this roster is coming back next year. But if they do get to a point where you try and incorporate a lot of young players, then yes, that might become something that flares up.
All right, Fluto. Let's say Patrice Bergeron does decide to retire. Can you kind of visualize for us what the Bruins' life after Patrice Bergeron looks
the
like?
The center position specifically.
Well, no. Is there a chain reaction of changes that
like
happen afterwards?
I misunderstood. What's the strategy? If Bergeron retires, what's basically right, Rich? What's the strategy
in your opinion, roster development
and you know, maybe filling, restocking with prospects? What is your thoughts there?
Well, it's horrible in terms of the center position. You can't operate with Eric Halla and Charlie Coyle and Tomas Nosek as your three returning centers. That position has to be reinforced. Easier said than done. Now, that's a decent amount of money that you free up with Patrice's salary, 6.875, that you can apply toward that position. But, again, what's the issue that these types of players just don't become available on the free market come July 1st or July whatever it's going to be this year? So you're probably going to have to look at some kind of trade. They have some assets in terms of defensemen on the left side that certainly one of them is going to go. But then you have Grizzlick, who could have been right there. Well, he's going to be on the operating table next week. So what does that do to his price, to his return? Perhaps the team's saying, no, I'd like a defenseman who's going to be in the opening lineup come game one, which he will not be. So yeah, issues and nobody really coming up. Is Jack Stanika ready to be an NHL player? He didn't show it this year. So it's going to be on him. He's going to be a restricted free agent. Is this the time that he makes that next step? That's on him. Or do the Bruins just say, well, we've waited and developed this guy for long enough. It's just not going to work out here. Maybe this is the time to let him go. But that center position, it was an issue going into this year. You could argue that it became an issue in the playoffs in round one. So it will certainly be... blinking red light on the dashboard.
Would you ever see them trading Brad Marchand if Patrice retired in order to get, I guess, just go all in on the youth movement on this team and try to get some sort of value?
No. First, he's got no move. He's going to be the next captain. He's still a critical piece. Now that's also a concern. What is Brad without Patrice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because those two express so much of each other's games. So to be without that guy that you've played over 10 plus years, is Brad a 10% less player, 20% less player? He's going to be diminished. He's never played with Charlie Coyle. He's never played with Eric Hall, so that's an issue. But he's the heartbeat. He drives it still. Very, very worthy next captain. Can still play, and there's still growth in his game. So I guess you can kind of see the argument in that sense. Let's just go full rebuild, blow everything up. But you're not going to get equal return. Full value for Brad's entire package. So no, you build around Brad. See how many 2 years left in terms of high end capability in Brad, maybe. But no, he's the next captain.
Well, we were debating this yesterday. I mean, Brad Marchand obviously is the best player left on the roster once Patrice Bergeron retires, if he does. But this guy gets suspended a ton. and you want your captain to kind of lead by example, and Marchand, for lack of a better phrase, can't control himself sometimes. Is that the kind of guy you want as a captain of your team?
No, that's certainly an issue, because we all know that's not going to go away next year. He just can't do any of that. And if he does, it's going to be a big one. So, yes, that's always going to be over his head. Absolutely. But guys in the room, every player will say he is, even more than Patrice, he's the hardest worker and he's the most competitive player in the room. And that means a huge deal for players to follow. Very much trusted by the coach. So, yes, absolutely there's that issue of the discipline, but no, that's a blip on the radar.
Fluto, if Bergeron does come back, is there a way this team can get better? Is there a way that this team can make more noise in the playoffs, regardless of opponent?
You would assume the goaltending is going to be better next year, right? That Jeremy, yeah. Because of his age, the experience, having gone through this, he will be better. Linus will be better because he doesn't have to go through the whole transition of life and everything and system and everything. So that's a nice asset that the Bruins have in terms of 1-2. So that should be one of the strengths. You still think Charlie is going to be better, Charlie McAvoy. But I wonder about the Pastrnak thing. How is he unsettled in terms of can he focus on the year in terms of the contract, if that still remains an issue going into the summer and into next year? How will he deal with that? How will the Bruins deal with the uncertainty of not knowing if he's going to be back, if they can't get a deal done? So is there improvement in terms of young players coming up? No, not really, because, okay, maybe the Lysell kid, maybe he can play, but he still hasn't played one single professional game. That's a big ask. And some of these older players, is there going to be drop-off in Holla or Smith or Coyle, perhaps? It depends what they can get in trade for one of those Ds. I would imagine it's going to be back to the bread and butter. Lean on the goaltending, play tight defensively, and then hope you can score, because right now you can't score. That's the problem. And that's not going to be an easy fix.
And just your gut feeling, Fluto, after everything you've seen at the end of Game 7 and, of course, Patrice's comments yesterday, what do you think's going to happen to Patrice? You think he's going to find a way to play another year or so, or do you think he's going to retire?
No, I think he's done.
Wow. Is part of that based on how he handled that Game 7 after it was over?
It's just a whole bunch of circumstances. I can't say that I know him well, but he's that type that he's just, legacy matters to him. It matters to him that he's done this all with one organization, hit the 400 goals. He's going to win the fifth Selke. All of this for the team that he was drafted by. And I think he really takes pride in the fact that he has not slipped, that the threshold of excellence and perfection, or whatever word you want to use to describe his career, it's still there. You could argue that, okay, the face-offs, he wasn't as good as usual in the playoffs against Stahl. But for the most part, his game is still at the level that everybody believes it's at. And, okay, maybe you don't expect that to slip, but I think he really likes the fact that he's been able to maintain this level, and that's he takes a lot of pride in that. And then, yeah, all the circumstances, the kids here and there, the Tuca comes back for one last ride with Patrice. You have to think that Zdeno is going to retire at some point this offseason. So, no insight in terms of concrete evidence that he's told anybody, but and the fact that Brad is pretty much crying after the game, I think he's done.
All right, well,
wow,
that's not good news.
I agree.
All right, Fluto Schenzauer from The Athletic. You can read about all his thoughts about what to do in the offseason, what have you. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Okay, fellas, my pleasure.
Right, see ya. Appreciate it.
They're in a world of trouble if he does retire.
Well, what is the last last athlete that you know of, like famous athlete, that has retired with that much left in the tank that didn't have anything to do with injury? Like, what's the last athlete that you knew that was still playing at, like, the highest level?
Barry Sanders retired when he was still really good. Calvin Johnson.
I'm talking Calvin Johnson's a good one, but that's still been a while.
I'm just naming them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Sanders and, the Boston athlete, I can't think of one. I mean Bird was done when he was at, Pierce retired, you knew he was done.
Yep. Man, it has been, I mean, if Brady would have retired, you could say him, but with that much left in the tank.
Well, at least he's not going to another team.
Yeah.
No, but that would have been no good.
I guess David Ortiz was still performing at a high level.
No, but Ortiz was in his 40s. I mean,
and he had a lot of stuff going on.
It wasn't like he was 33. I mean, it's just, you didn't know how many years. Ortiz was year to year when he retired.
Ortiz had a lot of stuff he had to handle. It seemed like there was a lot going on in David Ortiz's life.
Dan, what was that? Yeah, but I'm talking about just as an athlete.
Off the top of 315, 38 home runs.
In his final year?
Final year.
I mean, that's, yeah.
But you weren't surprised that he was.
No.
That wasn't a surprise. If you're talking, like, Bergeron would be a bit of a surprise.
Andrew Luck, that's a great one.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is
that's
a good call.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that's one that retired before he thought he was going to.
Yeah, I agree with Fluto. I told you guys this yesterday. I think he's done. I think he's not coming back.
Well, Marchand might have been the biggest giveaway, more than even anything that Bergeron did. I mean, Marchand was choked up. How close those two guys
hard
are.
Hard to pull the trigger. Hopefully he doesn't. Either way, they're going to lose in the first round again, and maybe that will have him thinking twice about coming back. But, this team is in purgatory.
So if you're Bergeron, why kill yourself again for another first-round knockout?
Just
everyone on your roster is a year older. Fluto brought it up. You take a look at the salary cap structure of this team.
I understand.
Everybody's back next
year. I get
it.
I just, you love to play hockey. You go into this season knowing it's your last, and just that you want to take in one last season. Knowing it's your last, right? Knowing, like every time, like taking a little bit of time, looking around, just giving yourself that one last year.
I know, but again, at that age, after all the miles, you got to go through the off-season workouts. You got to get yourself mentally prepared. Well, it's a process.
But think of the mindset of the team. I mean, you heard Brad Marchand saying, all we had to do is beat this team and we could have won something. And if that's what all of them are thinking, is that they're just like a piece or two away, and they could make, I don't know, some sort of change. Fluto even said maybe they believe that Swayman 1 year better will help get them to that spot. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what they think.
Rich is right. I mean, I was surprised. We talked about this yesterday. I was surprised by, look at Miguel doing commercials. By the way, congratulations, Fred, for recognizing Mike McGill.
AARP commercial. How about that?
Yeah, real old. But at least he's older than us. But I was surprised with what they said, how close they thought they were. I don't know. I hope he comes back. I have no inclination either way. I would have to go with Fluto. I mean, he would know more than me. But I don't think he's 100% either way. I would have to imagine. Might be 99%. I don't know if he's 100%. All right, when we come back, we can sneak in a little armpit of America if we can. Just in a moment, hear the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I'm not attacking the guy because I don't know anything about him. This is a guy named Eric Scalavino. Does it ring any bells to anyone?
No.
Patriots.com?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
All right, so get out of town. Right, he says the list of places to go to see a game. If you're going to a football city, he ranks all 32 cities. Stadium quality, local attractiveness, and length of stay recommended are all the factors he uses. Would you like to guess these 32nd ranked stadiums?
The worst one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would say, Jacksonville.
He has Green Bay.
Green Bay is the worst?
Okay. Green Bay is like a top destination for me. Like,
and we're off.
Lambeau Field?
Yeah, I would always like to go to Lambeau. It'd be great.
Yeah, Cincinnati is 31, which is not correct because he wants different things than I do. Detroit is 30th, and he says, the Motor City continues to struggle in so many ways. It pains me to put Detroit so far down because of Ford Field, that can boast one of the nicest stadiums in the entire league. The Detroit Institute of Arts House is one of the most underrated and diverse collections on the continent. Fun Night can also be found in Greektown, where the continues.
I thought he didn't like this place.
Downtown Detroit has a surprisingly strong food scene. And then he says to go to Dearborn, which is dump. I don't know. And then he says the Motown Museum, which is kind of neat.
And that was 30th?
Yeah.
Does he say anything critical?
Just that it continues to struggle in so many ways.
Oh, all those ways I won't mention.
Like, you're not going to East Detroit, guys. Like, you're not going. Like, you're not going to end up there.
All right.
You're not driving to where there's abandoned houses. Like, you forget it.
All right. So Jacksonville's 29th. He suggests that you stay in St. Augustine, an hour south. Then he is Houston. Then he is Carolina. Where he goes, however, I'd recommend staying 2 hours west in the gorgeous, more bucolic city of Asheville.
Two hours away?
Like, I'm flying in for a game, and you want me to drive 2 hours to Asheville?
So hang on. So you fly into Charlotte. You drive 2 hours to that night, like on Friday. I'm assuming you go on like a Friday.
Sure.
And then you stay there on Saturday, and then drive another 2 hours on Sunday morning and then wait in all that traffic?
Oh, you'll like this. So 26th is Minnesota. Guess what he suggests you do? Where he suggests you stay. For a quick trip on your own, just fly in, grab a room at one of the hotels attached to the Mall of America.
Oh, my God.
As opposed to downtown Minneapolis.
Well, they got a Sbarro in there. The food court's fantastic.
He says to spend 2 days at the Mall of America.
If you like lids, they got 9 lid stores.
At a mall.
I know, we counted them.
Was it the Nickelodeon amusement park in the middle?
Oh, yes. Sure, they got a SpongeBob roller coaster.
Right. 25th is Indianapolis. 24th is Buffalo, but he goes, if I had my choice, I'd stay further afield in either the more scenic Finger Lakes region of New York. A two-hour drive east.
That's exactly where I went to college.
Or
I know that intimately.
Or north of the border and just stay in Toronto.
I would rather stay in Toronto than stay in Finger Lakes region.
None of this is applicable.
Of course not.
It's like, I like Buffalo because it's close to Toronto.
You know what's really convenient? Border crossing.
Yeah.
It's just smooth. Runs nice and fast.
Let's stay in Seneca Falls, New York, just for fun.
He's joking about this, right? Like, wants you to fly into a place and stay 2 hours away?
In the Finger Lakes region.
You know, yep. If you like going to Foxborough, you should stay in New York.
That's exactly what it is. It's a quick train ride and a cellar train in New York.
Yeah, if you like Foxborough, you know, a quick trip to the Catskills won't kill you.
I'm beginning to think that this is put together just to get people to talk about it.
23rd is Pittsburgh, which is criminally low.
Or it's sponsored by those crappy places.
It could be.
Oh, my God. Kansas City is 22nd. I got news for you. It's in the middle of nowhere. As far as the things to do in town, options are limited, but you'll want an Instagram-worthy photo in front of the Kansas City Public Library.
That's right. You fly to Kansas City, fly in Friday, make sure you get your picture taken in front of the library.
It's like, dudes, what do you guys want to do today? I know what I want to do. It's time for a flickaroony.
Selfie. Selfie.
Atlanta's
21st.
Dallas is 20th. Tampa Bay is 19th. Baltimore is 18th. Anyone who's watched The Wire knows Baltimore's got its fair share of rough neighborhoods. Like, when you fly into a major city, you don't go, take me to the worst part of the city where I could die. Cleveland is 17th. Mexico City is 16th.
Mexico City?
People are afraid to go outside. Remember Gorman told us about his trip to Mexico City? How they needed armed guards.
They traveled with armed guards.
If you like living the movie Man on Fire in real life, then by all means... It's so funny. There's this listener who always yells at us whenever we talk about the Mexico City and like the teams that play down there. It's not my recollection. I'm not making this up. There were armed guards taking the teams to and from the airport.
Dude, my friend was kidnapped there. I mean, he was. They took his car and left him and his friends in the actually the police took his car and left him in the stupid jungle. Philadelphia is 12th, and as you know, that's where it should be, John.
Of course.
It's a real.
It's where it belongs.
That's right. You go to Club Risque, and Arizona's 11th.
Yep.
Miami's 10th. Personally, I like those north a bit better, but have not yet visited Florida Keys or Key West. Well, that's just a jaunt. Go down to Key West and just drive right up to the game on A1A with the two lanes. And just, there's never, and pray not one thing is going on, because you, 5 hours to Miami you can take.
Not very critical of the stadiums, too. There's only two that have below a B.
Yeah.
New Orleans, he's given a B minus. That's a dump. Like, that stadium sucks. The Superdome?
Yeah, I know it is.
Oh, man. Now, New Orleans is a great place to go. That stadium's a dump.
Washington, though, has White House tours.
Oh, yeah. So
that's nice.
That's why people go.
See, yeah. I'm glad this is here. I'd have never known that.
His New York is 7th.
Ooh, New Jersey?
Well, obviously, I don't know why he...
He ranked New... Okay. He ranked New England 5. This is his list. And you ranked... Foxborough is the fifth best place to go see a game.
Let's just say you're a beach person, just want to enjoy an authentic New England summertime vacation. Great. Come in August or September and spend a week on Cape Cod, the island.
That's not football season. What is he doing?
And no. But you could stay, even if it's warm in September, in Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. Or the more affordable Block Island.
Easy on, easy off.
Talk about convenience.
Alternately, you can go north to Portland, Maine, to get your lobster fix. Just a hop, skip, and a jump.
So did you just get a map and just go like anything within like a concentric 250-mile circle? Can you imagine? I'm just going to go to Nantucket. Yeah, let's go to the Patriots game. What we're going to do is we're going to fly into Nantucket. Why don't you... I mean, what's the point of even going to the game? Just go to Nantucket. This
is a guy who did not want to do this list.
Well, he certainly did it.
Yeah.
I mean, all I got to tell you is just, it's all wrong. Everything on it is wrong.
He put Foxborough ahead of Nashville.
Has he even close on anything?
He put Foxborough ahead of Tennessee. Jesus, staying in downtown Nashville.
What's number one? You haven't said number one.
Well, he's got San Francisco at number three because obviously location is no concern of his.
Number two is London.
Yeah, I know. Number one is Seattle, so I don't know. I don't know anything about going to Seattle.
Seattle's a great place to go.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I know it's a cool city. I don't know where the stadium is.
The stadium is within walking distance.
Fine. Well, there you go. Fair enough. It is. It's a long walk,
but you can do it.
Well, as long as it's you can navigate it.
Yes.
Just go to Block Island, take the Block Island ferry, take it down to Newport, then get in your car, go from Newport down to. All right, we'll be back. We're going to be joined by Eric Reed, play-by-play guy for the Heat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.